We're learning weiter in the Gemara, Daf Kuf Lamed, and the Gemara had told us, shared with us, the Makom of Rabbi Eliezer, the city where Rabbi Eliezer lived. They would Dafka Korsim Eitzim Lasos Pchamim Lasos Barzel B'Shabbos. They would Dafka make the knife, the Zemel, on Shabbos to perform the mitzvah of the Bris Milah, because Rabbi Eliezer, as we know, is permits even Machshirim of Bris Milah on Shabbos. So that, of course, is very strange, why one would put themselves in that situation. Now, as an aside, this Gemara here, in terms of Barzel, is very important in Halach L'maisa, because the Shulchan Aruch talks about which types of materials are allowed to be used for Mila, for the Izemel. And the Shulchan Aruch, I'm trying to find this line for a second. Shulchan Aruch writes that you could use anything you want. Here we go. Sif, this is Siman Reish Tamech Dalad Sif Beis. Bechol Malin, you could use anything you want. Afilu Batsur, even a rock. Zechuch is even glass. Bechol Davar Koris, anything that cuts, that's sharp. Chutz mi Bechromish Hakane, some type of sharp reed doesn't work. And but then he writes, U'mitzvah min amuvchar, lamul bebarzel. The ideal mitzvah is to use a barzel, bein besakin, bein bemisperaim, and that's the practice, is to use a knife. And the Gra on that place in Shulchan Aruch says this is the source. This Gemara here, where they had this practice of using barzel, that's how we know that one should ideally use barzel. That's the mitzvah min amuvchar for the milah. Either way, we see a very strange thing, that in B'mekom Moshe Rabbi Elazar, they would dafka create the knife on Shabbos. So Tosfos says, B'miskaven ha'yumavim atman. They would do this with real kavana to do such a thing. The mitzvah, the bris milah, they wanted to show how important it was, how dear it was, that they're even willing to violate Shabbos, which of course is permitted, according to Rabbi Eliezer, in order to show the chavivus of mitzvah. So how is that allowed? We know, of course, if you have the options of being docha Shabbos and not docha Shabbos, you should avoid. And why not prepare everything prior? So this already, in the back, one of the ghosts, Zev Ben Arya, asks this question, that how could you put yourself in the position? And he says, because hutcher. We discussed this yesterday, that according to Rabbi Eliezer, Mila and Shabbos is hutcher. And therefore, you don't have to think about things. You could do it even though you know you could do it today, and even though there might be a chiv now to perform and prepare for the bris Mila, the fact that it's hutcher b'Shabbos, afil b'Shabbos, you don't have to even think twice about it. So that's a discussion which, again, we touched upon yesterday. We're going to wait probably in a few weeks so we really discuss Hutchera versus Dechuya.
How do you know it extended to the Hutchera, to not just the meal itself?
Because that's Rabbi Eliezer's shita. He holds that even Machshirin are allowed to be Docha Shabbos. So
that's a chelik of the mitzvah, is that what he's
holding? So, not necessarily, but the Lashon of the Ramban is that he calls it a Mila Richta. So that, again, I mentioned yesterday just briefly that there's a question whether Hechsher Mitzvah is kmitzah dami. It comes up a few places. The Gemara in Yuma talks about Hechsher Mitzvah kmitzah dami legabe chafina. When it talks about Yom HaKippur, we do a ketores of Nekodesh Kedashim. So the Kohen Gadol does a chafina, and in terms of preparation of the ketores. And the Gemara there has a shaila about whether or not, I'm trying to remember the Gemara exactly, I don't have it in front of me, but I think it talks about whether or not if he has machshava psul, when he does that chafina, the preparation for the ketores, whether that's going to disqualify the ketores. And the Gemara says it depends whether hechsher mitzvah is kmitzah dami or lav. So just other areas where it comes up, the Yushami talks about building a sukkah. Building a sukkah, do you say a bracha on building the sukkah? So there the Yushami assumes hechsher mitzvah is kmitzah dami. So there are many nafkaminas for this question. So this is also one area where the Ramban says hechsher mitzvah is kmitzah, it's kmila arichta dami. That clearly assumes that it's connected to the mitzvah itself. So how could you do it on Shabbos? Because it's hutra. It's completely hutra. All the dinam of Mila is hutra on Shabbos. So comes along Or Sameach, and he's mechadish, a beautiful din, which now is really viewed as a springboard to discuss a very fascinating topic, which is at what point is there a chiv mitzvah? At what point does one have to be osek in a mitzvah? So the Or Sameach mechadish to answer this question, that the Indian of a mitzvah, of bris milah, is that you don't have to be doeg ulahachin, you don't have to prepare. Whenever the mitzvah kicks in, Shabbos kicks in, you don't have to think twice beforehand. Shabbos comes and nothing's prepared, okay, that's my loss. The milah comes, I'm not prepared, okay, that's my loss. So you don't have to think twice before a mitzvah. Kodim higia zman mitzvaso, there is no obligation to do anything. Even though I knew about it, I have no obligation. Shabbos comes, I need to do bris milah. So Rebbe Lazar says, make a knife, give the mila, and you're fine. Now, for the way we paskin, we don't assume this way because we don't allow machshirei mitzvah to be delcha Shabbos, but at least the concept of Rebbe Lazar holds that the chi of mitzvah does not kick in prior to the zman of the performance of the mitzvah. That's his chiddush. Now, yes.
Even if that's the case, I'm saying like it seems to just go against like a Zeil Chacham and Rasa Nolan, and just the idea of looking ahead, even if the fiat is important.
I think you're 100% right. So right now we'll discuss the halachic aspect of things in terms of. I'm not so sure about that in terms of halacha, strict halacha. I don't know if that is going to override that. At the end, I'm going to come back to this issue. Rav Asher Weiss talks about Ratzon Hashem, and we have a concept of being mahadir after mitzvahs. So I'll discuss that at the end. But from a strictly halachic perspective of obligations.
So to mitigate Yisurim, even if it's just based on the.
Correct. Yep. So that's what the Or Samech is mechadish, that yes, you could, even though you know what's going to be, you know the outcome, Ezu Chacham and Ronit Sanolad, nonetheless, mitzad halacha, you don't have to look ahead, at least according to the Or Samech. Now, the Avni Nezer, those who saw at the end, argues on this. The Avni Nezer, may as well read it together inside, it's a beautiful Avni Nezer, on this, number 8 here. So he's talking about the Karban Pesach. And if you just look at the bulge, he writes, nearly the Hainu Taima, the Mashu Mechuyev Lios Tahor, so why do I have an obligation to become Tahor for Karban Pesach? Right? Pesach doesn't come, Karban Pesach is not until Yud Dalet. So, who says I have to become Tahor? Who says it's a Chiyuv now? So he writes, Shemechuyev Lios Tahor, Af Dulo Ram Yechiyuv Aleh, even though there's no Chiyuv on you, you still have to become Tahor prior to Karban Pesach. Mishum du mushba mehar Sinai lasos hamitzos kolachas bizmano. We are all sworn in, even though we may not have been there physically, we were all there spiritually, our neshamas were there, and therefore we swore to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to keep all the mitzvahs, v'shua chal af kodem hazman. And therefore that's our obligation to keep the mitzvahs even prior to Yizman. So this is a very big machlokas between the Avnei Nezer and the Or Samech, whether or not there's a chiv of Hishalus of a mitzvah prior to Giyazman of the mitzvah. Now, even though Or Samech agrees, Legabi Karban Pesach, the obligation exists before, and this is an exception, and that's because we have a concept of Sholin Vidarshin Kodem Pesach, a special exception. Stam mitzvah, Brismila, Tfilin, just go down the line. There's no obligation according to Or Samech before the Zman. But there's a special din by Karban Pesach, right, and all the other halachas of Sholin Vidarshin. Kodem Pesach Shloshim Yom, and therefore there's obligation to do all related mitzvahs of Pesach. Outside of that, says the Or Samech, you're in fact going to be pater from any hishtalus in a mitzvah. Correct.
If you hold the other Yom Tov himself, would you say that Sukkah and Lulav you have to prepare before?
Fair question. I would say probably not, only because. So what Eitan's getting at here, there's a big machlokas whether or not Sholem V'Dorshin applies to Sukkos. If you look right in the beginning of Hilchas Pesach, in the Mishnah Berurah, the Ber Lach has a whole discussion about Hilchas Sukkos. Shavuos, everyone agrees, there is no Inyan in Hilchas Sukkos, nothing to learn about Shavuos, there's nothing to learn about Shavuos really. It's a good opportunity to learn Hilchas Yantif, because you never learn Hilchas Yantif. With Pesach, you learn Hilchas Pesach. Sukkos, you're doing Dal Minim, how to build the Sukkah, Leishiv Sukkah. So when do you ever learn Hilchas Yantif? You don't. So Shavuos is a great opportunity to learn Hilchas Yantif. Fine. But there is no din of Shloshim Yom before Yontif. They talk about maybe before Purim and other, Hanukkah maybe, they're more halachas. But Sukkah is a very important discussion they have. The Bach talks about this. But the reason why I would think not, that it wouldn't apply to Sukkot is because we don't have a din of, let's say you travel before Sukkot, Shloshim Yom, does that now absolve you any of mitzvahs of Sukkah? So I don't know, by Chametz we know if you leave within 30 days, you have to do Bir Chametz and Bedika, whatever you have to do. More than 30 days before, and you have no obligation. So we don't have, I don't think we have something similar to Sukkot in that regard. Now, it could be because we have a special din by traveling on Sukkot itself. So Holchei Derachim are pater from Sukkah. So maybe even before Sukkot as well. So it's interesting. I think an interesting thought. Okay, so there are a number of different applications where we see this idea come up. The Or Samech seems to be sosir himself with regards to paying workers on time. There's a din that when you hire a day worker, he works for the day, you have to pay him on time. And if the night goes by, the next morning the sun rises and you don't pay him, so then you violate an issa deraisa called baltalan. So he has an interesting case here. So what happens? You hire a guy for Friday. He's doing work in your house on Erev Shabbos. And then you're supposed to pay him by evening, but you can't because it's Shabbos. We know, why can't you pay him on Shabbos? What? Mekach Memkar, right? The Mishnah at the end of Maseches Be'ah tells us that you can't do Mekach Memkar. Why can't you do Mekach Memkar? Why is that Usser? You might write, Kosev, it's a Gezerah. It's a Gezerah, the Chacham said, perhaps you can't write. Now, just as a side point again, so now, since I don't pay on time, I'm violating an Issa D'Oraisa Baltalan. So perhaps you should say that Chachamim should not hold up their Gezerah so that I don't violate the Issa D'Oraisa Baltalan. So this just becomes an interesting example where Chachamim are Oker Davar Min HaTorah, where they said you can't pay, and now because they can't pay, they're forcing me now into a violation of Baltalan. But I don't get the Issa Baltalan, because they have the ability to say, no, you're not allowed to pay. And since you can't pay, you're not going to get the Isser Baltalan either. So you have these examples where Chacham are able to affect things on a deraisa level. I have a sefer at home. It's called Mili Dirabanan. It's like 30 simanim. It talks about all these different instances where Chacham were able to oker davar min haTorah. I should have looked it up. I imagine they would quote this as one of the proofs that they can oker davar min haTorah. So what happens? So now, the guy doesn't have to pay the guy. Great Eitzah. What you do is hire a contractor. Come, I only want Fridays because I'm home Fridays. I work the rest of the week. I want you to come on Friday. So a Frum guy comes to your house on Friday and you don't pay him, and now you're probably from paying him ever again because there's no Isser Baltalan. Because since you can't pay him on Shabbos, the Isser Baltalan doesn't kick in. And now, since the Isser initially never existed, there's never a Tashlumim, if you will, of that Isser. I'm completely off the hook. I have a chiv to pay, but there is no lav for not paying the guy. So that would be an area where I would seemingly be avoiding an isser. So is that something that's allowed? So the Or Sameach says that you have to be able to anticipate what's happening. You have to use your seichel sometimes, that even though perhaps the lav may not kick in because it falls on Shabbos, and Shabbos I can't pay because Chacham told me I can't pay, nonetheless, since you're able to anticipate what's going to be, you do have to pay. Which means that the chiyuv to pay exists even before the gemar melacha, or even before the iser kicks in. The iser kicks in Friday on Friday night. I can't pay. But I have to pay him Erev Shabbos. Ah, the melacha's not done. Oh, the iser batalon doesn't kick in yet. Nonetheless, the obligations kick in even before the higizman mitzvasa or lo sase. That's the chiddush of the Or Sameach. Now this does go against what he said before, because the previous Or Sameach, he says, we don't have to anticipate. Only by the Karim Pesach is an obligation to think prior to Yizman. But by other mitzvahs, you don't have to think what's going to be. You could just push it off.
Wouldn't there be a chiluk in Lo Sase and Ase? Mishmartem? You have a chiluk put it together that you should violate Yisurim. So, since he's talking about Lo Sase, it makes sense that you have to do a little bit in advance to make sure you're not going to come to the
Yisr, but maybe
you don't have to prepare.
It's possible. He doesn't say that chilek. You perhaps can make that suggestion, but in the previous Or Sameach,
but
what?
You have Mila. He says by Mila the same thing, like
Losas. Mila, there's no Mila. Mila's an asay. It's a sheish bakaris, but there's no losasay there. But when he says it's din, it doesn't sound like the Or Sameach saying he's a main mechalik between lav and sasay, but maybe you could say that. Perhaps. Maybe by nase you don't have to anticipate, but by los nase you do have to anticipate since the stakes are higher.
Right.
So that could be a problem. I'm not sure the Or Sameach saying that, but I could see that as a logical distinction between nase and los nase. Makes sense. Yeah.
Losalan is a new Isser every day, though, no?
The way the Or Sameach understands this is that if based on the Gemara Bab Metziah Daf Kuf Yud, which he quotes, if you don't violate Bal Talan day one, Biyom Rishon, then there's no Isser Vayter. But if then it does continue. It's similar to, it's almost like a negative tashlumim, if you will. So what happens if a guy couldn't daven? He was mamish onus. The guy, let's say, he was very ill or he was sleeping or something. So there's no obligation to make tashlumim on that which a person is onus on. Because since you were initially pater, you can't make tashlumim on that which you're onus from. Or another example, making up havdalah. So they talk about the Rishonim, if a person's an onin, Matzei Shabbos, so then he can't say havdalah, he can't do mitzvahs when you're an onin. So now the kvura takes place on Sunday. So should he make it up or should he not make it up? So the Rush talks about, since he was pater initially, he was an onin, he couldn't do the mitzvah initially, you can't do tashlumim on that which you were initially pater from in the first place. And others say, no, you would make havdalah because havdalah is not called the tashlumim, havdalah is just a chiv that's constant. So here's well. Baltalin, it's an isser that exists at the first moment. If you didn't have that isser initially, then there's no recycling of baltalin as it continues to go on.
But the second day is not because there was a first day. It's just because you're extending the time that
you're... The understands that it is because of that. So you have to look at the Gemara Bava Tzio Kufiyut. I'm not holding in that Gemara, but perhaps there's a machlo. I could see there being a machlo because how to understand it, but I don't remember that Gemara. So now this question of whether or not there's a chiv of ishtadlis of being osek in the mitzvah prior to Gizman comes up in a very important machlokas between Tosos and Tosos Rid. I assume you guys got a chance to see this Tosos and Tosos Rid. So you want to know, the Gemara tells in Kedushin Daf Chavtes that there's a mitzvah, the obligation of Mila is on the father, not on the mother. It says Oso below Oso. That's a Gzeres HaKasuv. And Toz wants to know how come we need a special Gzeres HaKasuv. Isn't it not a mitzvah say Shazman Grama? And women are pater from time-bound mitzvahs. So that's why they're pater. Why need the pasuk? And the Toz says, because you're right. You can do the mitzvah before the 8 days. But once the 8 day comes, there is no Ein Lehefsek. It continues its Lavzman Grama. So again, I'm throwing out some chakiras for you guys to always keep in mind. It's not going to be the focus. But when it comes to Zman Grama, there's a very basic machlokas we've shown him how to define Zman Grama. Either Zman Grama is defined by something that Zman is gorim it, cause it to come, or it's limited when you're allowed to do it. So the 8th day is the Zman is gorim it. The 8th day is gorim the chiv. So Tosafot clearly doesn't assume that the Zman gorim is the mechayev. He assumes it has to be limited in time. But once the 8th day comes, there's no limit. You can continue to do the mitzvah whenever you can. So that's not as Zman Grama, because Tosa understands it being, if it's time-bound, by when you could do it. So Sukkot, for example, or Pesach, that has both criteria. The Zman is Gorim, Tesvav is Gorim the mitzvah, but it's also time-bound. There's limits on both the beginning and the end of it. So sometimes you have things that have one without the other. Those who want to look further into the sugya, take a look at the Kuntres Shirum. Rav Gusman has a very long discussion on Zman Grama, whether it's Zman Gorim or Zman Grama, he calls it. So he talks about this Indian. That's what Tosus makes a point of. But Tosus Rid says no. He says, you know why it's not Zman Grama? Is because even from day one, even from Shas Leda, there's a chiv, and the language is very important here. Ha'av shetivo habore lis'asek b'milas b'no ha'esekahu. The father has to call a mol, has to call the caterer. Now, we're going to see, not tomorrow, but hopefully on Thursday, we're going to learn about the Sudas Brismila. Sudas Brismila, there's an in it. It's not just stam. You have to call the caterer. That's part of the esek. The mol, you get the wine, the becher, the medical stuff, the shul, all these things are part of the Eisek HaMitzvah. And that has no zman, bein bayom, bein balayla, yitrach v'yachin tzarechei midas b'no, to prepare everything necessary. And therefore, it's not a zman grama. And women, you would think, should be a chayiv to participate. That's why you need oso below osa. What comes out from this, interestingly, though, is that Tos Rid lines up nicely with the Avnei Nezer. That even prior to Giyazman Mitzvasa, there's a Chiv of Ishtalus. He doesn't say because Mushba Behar Sinai, but perhaps it's more like Eli was saying, HaRos HaNolad, you have to anticipate what's going to be, you have to use some Seichel, how to perform mitzvah. So that's what comes out very interesting for our Sugya of the Bris Mila. And this, of course, is against the Or Sameach and his understanding of Rabbi Eliezer. Now, Eitan Agbashar brought up an interesting question here. On this Tosas Rid. What's the din if a person gives a mila kodem zmana? Let's say day 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, any day prior to the 8th day. What's the halacha of that mila that was done? Is that a good mila? Is that not a good milah? So we take a look in Shulchan Aruch. This is the beginning of Hilchos Milah. I think it's Reish Samech Gimel or something. Reish Samech Beis. So the din is that the Shulchan Aruch, the Rama writes rather, there's a steer about Balayla. I'm not going to get involved when you do something at nighttime, the Mila Balayla. But if you do Molo Toch Shmona, you're Yotzei the Mitzvah. Now there's a debate in the poskim whether you have to do a Tafas Dam Bris or not in that case. If it was done Balayla, so there the Rama says you have to do a Tafas Dam Bris. And the Shulchan Aruch says you don't have to do a Tafas Dam Bris. That's Laila even like the ninth or tenth night. Anytime Balayla. But we're talking about Kodem Zman, no, before. So the Rama writes, Toch Shmona Ubayom, during the daytime, you're Yotzei the Mitzvah. And the poskim, the Taz or Shach, talk about whether you need a Tavas Dam Bris there as well or not. So what's this Machlokes? Whether or not you're Yotzei the Mitzvah, whether you have to do a Tavas Dam Bris when you did the Mila Kodem the eighth day. So what I thought the explanation was, and I'll share eight times in just a second. So I'll ask you guys first, what do you think Pshat is? If you do a Mila Toch Shmona, are you Yotzei the Mitzvah or not? So Machlokes, some say you do need a Tavas Dam Bris, others say you don't need a Tavas Dam Bris. What would that machlokas be dependent on?
Whether the
Chiyuv existed or not. So that's what Eitan was suggesting as well. That he thought that if the Chiyuv existed, like the Tosas Rid, the Shtadlis to do the Milah, even before the 8th day, so granted you did the wrong day, but it was still in the realm of a Chiyuv, and therefore you fulfill the mitzvah. And if you assume that the Chiyuv doesn't kick in until afterwards, so then you would have to do a Tavas Dam Bris. That's one pshat. So I thought otherwise. I thought that can't be the case. I don't think anyone would think you're Yotzei the Mitzvah prior. Can't be. I don't think it could be. You go, so you're not Mekai the Mitzvah. When Tosafot Rid says you have to be Meshtadel in the Mitzvah, it means just prepare for it. It doesn't say to do the Mitzvah. So what's the Machlokas, whether you have to do a Tavas Dam Bris or not? So there's another Machlokas, how to understand the Bris Milah. Those who want sources on this, Minchas Asher and Parsha Lecha talks about this extensively. Chavetz Chelas HaSharon, whether the Mila is a Maisa Mitzvah or whether it's a Tatzah, about having the Arla removed or you have to do a Maisa. So you did the Mila on day 6. You didn't get any Mitzvah. But comes day 8, the child's Mahul, so now the Tatzah is there. You did what you needed to do. There's no need for a Maisa Tavas Dam Bris. It's a Mahul. The child's Mahul. But if you require a Maisa Mila, so then you have to do the best you could do. There's no Arla anymore, so you can't do a Maisa Mila anymore. At least a Tavas Dam Bris is a Maisa, the best you could do, and therefore you would require a Tavas Dam Bris. Now this is, again, more superficial. You have to look into this further, because if that's the case, when the Mila is done by Laila, so then the Ramah shouldn't require a Tavas Dam Bris either, if what I'm saying is correct.
What happens if a child is already Mahul?
So the Gemara talks about these cases, a child who's Mahul, do you require a Tavas Dam Bris or not? So we're going to, I guess, save this discussion when we get there, but that's exactly the point, whether you really have to. So we'll hold off on that, but yeah.
That would be the same discussion if, like, let's say the Arla was removed, but not in the way of the Bris Mila.
Correct.
Like, say, non-kosher.
Non-kosher way, by a goy, or whatever the case might be. Same questions. You always have to ask, do you require a Tavas Dam Bris or not? And that would depend on whether it's done, whether you fulfill the mitzvah, or whether it's a ma'isa mitzvah, it's a totsah mitzvah. All that is very relevant. So we'll hopefully make a list of those when we get to that sugya. But I thought it was I think it's a good place to look in terms of the chiyuv existing perhaps earlier, might indicate whether you fulfill the mitzvah prior to the zman of 8 days or not.
What's his lashon?
The Ramah's lashon is, he says, mal toch shmona bayom yatsa, I believe it was. Malu toch ches ubayom yatsa. So the question, what's yatsa going on? Were you yatsa already day 6? Or yatsa, once day 8 comes, you're yotzei the mitzvah, you don't have to do anything further. So I didn't look up inside the rush. He called it the rush in our parak here. I don't know where the rush exactly is. And also the Chuas Rajba.
Wouldn't he be talking about day 6? Because if it's day 8, it's a double push, it's another you can do. I mean, you could have
no secure. No, but you do a Tavas Dam Bris, you could still do.
You said the no sekina debate that anyways,
right.
But that's obviously all you're able to do.
Correct.
When he says, yatsa has to be the 6th day, no?
No, because you could say yatsa even from Tavas Dam Bris on day 8.
On day 8, yeah, so that wouldn't be on day 6, that would just be...
Right, I don't know, it's hard, you have to look back at the Rosh of the Rajwa to really understand what he means, so I can't, I guess, comment any further, I didn't look them up. So let's hold off on that, feel free to look it up afterwards and we can talk about it. But I hear in terms of the reading, it could also be talking about day six, which would then support Eitan's idea that maybe the Chiv does exist prior to day eight. Okay, so now you saw the Nishmas Adam, who also spoke about this in, and he said there is no Chiv before him, which is a fascinating point. You don't have an obligation to go to a shul to make it for a shana and a shofar. He also held, he was in the same camp as the Or Sameach, in terms of there is no Chiv prior to Giyazman. Okay, I want to go through all the stories. Rabbi Eger talks about this in terms of buying tefillin and Chol HaMoed. That's a really fascinating tshuva, a long tshuva. I only actually copied some of it. But I'll just raise the question for your food for thought here, of those who didn't see it. If a person only has enough money to buy a sukkah and a tefillin, so should he buy tefillin or should he buy a sukkah? And he says it's pashut if it's before sukkahs. So tefillin comes first because there is no mitzvah of sukkah right now. You only look at the now. You don't look at the what's going to be. Fine. So in Lekach Tov now, Rav Yosef Engel has a very, very long piece here. I only quoted the one side of this, but he brings 15 different sources throughout Shas, Kedarko, where he tries to go back and forth whether or not the chiv of the mitzvah kicks in prior to the higiyazman. So just to rattle off just a few of them very quickly, just get your mind thinking a little bit. He quotes about more by Shabbos in our Masechta about not traveling on a boat or not ambushing a city 3 days prior to Shabbos. Because once you travel in a boat, back then traveling took many days, weeks, and months. So now you are mechayv yourself to be in a situation on Shabbos that would violate Chil Shabbos. So that's about anticipating. So the Baal Mor clearly wanted to anticipate what was going to be. So according to Or Sameach, it's Wednesday. I don't have to think about Shabbos, it's Wednesday. But the Baal Mor says that no, you do have to anticipate what's going to be in a few days from now. The Shach says, let's say you're giving a Mila Shlo Bezmano. So it's ready past the eighth day. So now, he says, once it's past the eighth day, you should not do it on a Thursday. Let's say the child's ready on a Thursday to get a milah. It's ready 10 days after being born. So you shouldn't do it on a Thursday, because a Thursday means day three, which is the most painful day, Yom Shlishi, is going to be on a Shabbos. Thursday is day one, Friday is day two, Shabbos is day three. So if you give a milah Shlo Bezmano on Thursday, you're now being mechayv yourself to be mechal Shabbos on day three of the milah, and that we want to avoid. So he thought, the Shach thought, that you should push off till a Friday to avoid a Chil Shabbos. So this is yet another example of trying to be Ros Hanola to see what's going to be in terms of key mitzvahs. Another case, and this is a little bit strange case, but the Gemara Nida Daf Lamed Ches quotes that the Chassidim HaRishonim would not be Mishamish Mitosem. They wouldn't have relations on a Wednesday, because there's a calculation Rashi goes through. That means if the calculation was exact, the child would be born on a Shabbos. And that would be a Chil Shabbos 9 months prior to it. So that's an anticipation 9 months prior to a mitzvah. And the Gemara in Shabbos talks about how a person should daven that their wife shouldn't give birth on Shabbos because it leads to a Chil Shabbos. It says bad things about children being born. I remember when my fifth kid, so born, you saw Meir, he was born on a Shabbos. It was a Hurricane Sandy Shabbos. Right, Prostin actually was the mole who's going to hopefully come. I didn't ask him yet. It was the Hurricane Sandy. We got flooded in my house. So we went to my parents in Teaneck for a Shabbos bris. Right, Prostin and his son came for Shabbos. My parents had a generator, but the rest of the place was just shut down in Teaneck. So we had like a nice, cute, like European bris meal in my parents' house, like on the counter there. So you saw Meir, he lit the world up, you know. So it was very nice. So when I was in the hospital Shabbos day when the baby was being born, so I brought my Gemara Shabbos, and I was learning that I got to that Gemara about when the child's born on Shabbos, it's a bad thing. Like, oh no, hold off. It didn't work, but talk of that, my baby was born on Shabbos, and Baruch Hashem, everything worked out perfectly. So hopefully we minimize the Chil Shabbos. So that being said, the Chassidim HaRishonim would anticipate what's going to be 9 months before, and they wouldn't be Mishamish on a Wednesday. So the Rav Yosef Engel says back, well, that's not really a great raya, that's only Midas Chassidus, the Chassidim HaRishonim. But the Stam person doesn't have to think ahead so much. So there are many other rayas that he brings. I'm not going to go through all of them. Those who want, they could certainly look at my notes here, Lekach Tov, on this question of how far in advance one has to anticipate the Chiv of Mitzvah. So back to Ellie's point before, I think it's a very important point. I wanted to discuss this, about even though perhaps there's no chiv, there is no obligation to anticipate one, in terms of hashkafa, there certainly is an obligation to look ahead. Rav Asher Weiss, in his newest sefer called Klali HaMitzvos, he has a whole piece here about Higiyah Zman Mitzvah Kodem Zmano. So he talks about all these Marmer Komos, and he has an idea that he speaks about often, that's called Ratan Hashem. Rav Sacks also has a shtick on Ratan Hashem, about even though this may not be the obligation, there's understanding what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. What's Ratan HaBore? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to perform mitzvahs. You know, we just read Shlach last week, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe he couldn't enter into Eretz Yisrael, but he very much wanted to. He had this ratzon, this cheshek, to go into Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because he wanted to perform mitzvahs. So we shouldn't try to think of reasons to get potter from mitzvahs. We should look for reasons to be mechayev ourselves in mitzvahs and to anticipate this. So we learned last year in Shlach HaKein, Shlach HaKan, the last parak of Chulim, we learned that there's a question whether or not you have to be mechader after the mitzvah of Shlach HaKein. And the Gemara thought, maybe you should look high and low, heharim vagvos, look for places to do the Shulach HaKein. And the Gemara says, no, we don't look for those mitzvahs, at least the Shulach HaKein. But other mitzvahs, it's implied that we taka do. We are mehad there to perform mitzvahs. And the Darchei Tshuva, at the beginning, right in the beginning of Hilchos Shechita, Eitan and I were zocha to be by the Kever in Munkach a few weeks ago. So the Darchei Tshuva, right in the beginning of Hilchos Shechita, he says that a person should be mehad there after mitzvahs. He says Shechita, however, is something unique where we're not mahadir after Shechita. A person should try to do any mitzvah he can. But why not Shechita? Because Shechita is being mafsid something. You're destroying something. So we don't want to destroy something. Mahadir mitzvah is like tzitzis. We're mahadir. We don't have to wear tzitzis unless we're dal kanfos. But we're mahadir after the mitzvah dal kanfos. We're mahadir after any mitzvah we're able to. But we don't have to sin the sukkah all day long. But we're mahadir to sin the sukkah as much as we can. When it comes to a mitzvah such as shechita, where it's destroying an animal, unless I want to eat the animal, I shouldn't try to do a shechita. And there are other things like this as well. Gittin would be a great example. Gittin's a mitzvah, but we're not mahader after the mitzvah of gittin chas v'shalom. So there's an interesting discussion in the Rambam and the Ravid in Hilchus, I think it's Hilchus Bikurim at the end. No, Hilchus Becharos. I forget which one. It must be Hilchus Becharos, where he talks about petach hamor. A petach hamor, the firstborn donkey. There's a mitzvah of pidyon petach hamor, where you take the firstborn donkey and you put it onto a seh, and you give the seh to a kohen. What's a lach of a person doesn't want to do a pidyon? What does he do? Anyone know? No daf yomi learners here. Arifa, he does arifa, he kills it. He does an arifa, and he breaks its neck. And the donkey just dies. So the mishnah, the last mishnah in the first parak in Becharos is actually interesting. There's a mishnah, but there's no gemara. It just ends off with a mishnah. It might be the only place in Shas where the mishnah and then hajin alach. So this last mishnah says mitzvah pediya kodem mitzvah arifa. It has a whole long list of like mitzvah of yibum. It's kodem mitzvah chalitza. So mitzvah pediya is kodem mitzvah arifa. So the Rambam learns so there's a mitzvah of arifa as well. There's a mitzvah of pidyon petach hamor, and there's mitzvah arifa if you want. So it comes along the Ravi, he says, it doesn't make any sense. You're being mafsid the mamon kohen. If you did a pidyon, you have this set, and you give the set to the kohen. Eli's a kohen, I give Eli a set. But now, if I break the neck of the chamor, he gets nothing. I'm just mafsid mamon kohen. Why is that a mitzvah? And he says, therefore, there is no mitzvah of arifa. It's a halacha, but it's not one of the 613 mitzvahs. So there in the bottom, the Mari Kurkis writes that no, it's not a stira to have a mitzvah and a hefsid. Gittin, he gives an example. Gittin's a mitzvah, but it doesn't mean it's something that's positive. You could still have a negative type of mitzvah as well. So there are a list of chalitzas also, a mitzvah, but it's a negative type of mitzvah. So we're mahadir after mitzvahs that are positive mitzvahs. Things that are negative mitzvahs that we certainly don't look for. That being said, now I'm going to take Ellie's recommendation from yesterday about trying to connect some level of hashkaf and penimis if we can. But this mitzvah, this idea rather, being mishtadel and lahadr after mitzvahs, is something important. Being ros and nolad, it very much goes against the whole thinking of Amalek, if you will. Amalek is a nation which is a rachis goyim. They were the rachis goyim. They're the ones who think of the now. They were the first ones to attack Klal Yisrael as they left the midbar. And the Apostle says, Yeshua, we discussed yesterday, Yeshua in fighting Amalek, So when Moshe and Yeshua wanted to fight Amalek, the pasuk says, "Bach alanu anashim, v'tzehi lachem ba'malek, machar anochi nitzav al harosh." So when Moshe and Yeshua wanted to fight, they said, "We'll fight them tomorrow." If you're being attacked today, you should fight them today. Why does he say, "Wait till machar, wait till tomorrow"? So the idea is because we also find this by Esther and Esther and Haman, who came from Amalek, that when Esther invited Haman and Achashverosh to a meal, so it says, "Yavo Amalek Hamelach v'Haman el Mishta Asher Eser lehem u'machar Eser kedvar melech." And tomorrow we'll have another suda. So what's the meaning of machar? This idea of machar against Amalek, and the idea is because Rashis Goyim is Amalek, they only think of the now. They don't think beyond the hayom. They can't think what's going to be tomorrow. They can't think about the machar. So it's fascinating because if you take the gematria of Amalek, you have 240. The same gematria suffix 240. The 240. Now to think lamachar is thinking outside of teva, outside of the zman. It's the eight. Eight's lamal ma'teva. So you take machar, you take Amalek 240 plus eight, you get the gematria of machar, which is 248. So machar is eight more than Amalek because to defeat Reish Goyim, you have to go lamal ma'zman. You have to go lamal ma'teva in order to think. You have to be able to anticipate beyond the now to be able to defeat Amalek. And that's also when it comes to performing mitzvahs. Even though right now, I'm not chayiv in Karim Pesach, I'm not chayiv in Mila, but to be mishtada even now, that's the inin to go up against Amalek. So Moshe Zakenim, Bali Tosis on the Parsha, and Bishalach has a beautiful idea. He says, how come Amalek felt that they're able to defeat Klal Yisrael? So he says, the Amalek are Rashi Tevos of the following. The names Amram, Moshe, Levi, Kahas are the Rashi Tevos Amalek. So he said, we have the ability to overtake Amram, Moshe, Levi, Kahas. But Moshe Zakenim says, but they didn't look at the Sofer Tevos. The Sofer Tevos of these words, these names of Moshe, Levi, Kahas, and Amram spell out Misa. Granted, if you look at the now Hayom, it's going to be Reish Goyim. It'll be the first of the nations. But the end of the pasuk tells us, Achariso Ade Ove. They're going to, in the end, be destroyed. If you look at the Sofer Tevos, it's going to lead to a Misa. So that's why at the end of the Megillah, Esther requested, even after Haman and the 10 sons were hanged, that Tomer Esther im al hamelch tov yinasen gam machar liyehudim asher b'shushan habira, that we should live in the world of machar. Machar means to anticipate what's going to be in the future. So even though there's no chiv now, we should always be mahader after mitzvahs.